Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome again to the Twin Steeples podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined again today by Pastor Neil Radical. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. And the main goals of this podcast are to share God's saving word with you and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. How are you feeling today, Pastor Radical?
I'm doing better than I deserve. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Today, you're going to lead us through a devotion based on Isaiah chapter 1.
Yes, sir. Isaiah 1:18. It really, I think, flows well from last week when we did Isaiah 7:14, because now we start at the beginning of Isaiah, where really the Lord sets the stage through his prophet of all these prophecies that we see fulfilled in our Savior. And so we see from Isaiah 1:18, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I really love this first phrase here. The Lord really invites not just Isaiah, but all of Judah, all of Israel, all of his people, all the people of the world today. And it's not like he's trying to get us to reason out our salvation. It's more of the approach that, come now, let's have this discussion. I want to talk to you about this. It reminds me of when he questioned Job and basically said, come, answer me like a man. In this sense, you get that fatherly idea here. Come now, let's talk about this. You know that you're guilty. You know that you sinned. And that's the point he makes with two beautiful illustrations. The next phrase here, even though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, we just got a nice fresh blanket of snow over the last 24 hours. As you know, I know you were shoveling this morning, and you know, that whole idea of that fresh blanket over the dead ground, we see that it can be a very beautiful thing. And the Lord says just how wretched our sins were. He uses that scarlet, that crimson. It's very bright. It's very apparent. It's very in your face. Maybe think of the scarlet letter when you think of that color, that old book. And that idea here is that we are absolutely guilty. And the Lord says, as we gather together, as we reason together, he says, he's going to do something amazing for us. He's going to cover us. He's going to cover us with his righteousness. And that's what Isaiah goes on to continue to prophesy about, the Lord's righteousness and how it is far superior to ours. In fact, it's the total opposite. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah says, and the Lord covers us with his garments of salvation. That's why we call our Emmanuel, the Lord, our righteousness. And so this idea of these two different colors shows the contrast between the two different types of situations that we're in. The one that we are in desperate need of salvation, the situation that we have a God who is going to sacrifice himself with his blood, with that crimson red blood on the cross, to wash and cleanse us, to cover us with his righteousness, and give us reasons to rejoice. So again, I love this verse from Isaiah because it points us to the Lord saying, I want to have a talk with you. I want to have a discussion. I've always wanted to tell you these things. You are dead in your sins, and yet I'm going to make you alive. And through my word, I'm going to show you that your sins are forgiven, that your debt's been paid, and that you are righteous in my eyes because I've washed you, I've cleansed you, and I've called you my own. So I think some powerful verses here. I'd like to hear your thoughts on anything maybe I didn't think of or left out, or your own personal application.
Well, one of the things I like to emphasize with this verse always, Neil, is the when God says, let us reason together, our God is a reasonable God. God gave to us logic and reason and the ability to work through the different sections of scripture that he's blessed us with. Even though we believe by faith, and it is purely by faith that we stand in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he still gives us the ability to reason and to logic and to think. And he says, let's put our minds together right now. Let's think about this. What are we saying here when we look at these two colors specifically? And you know, for the tactile learner, for the person who learns better with pictures, this is really a vibrant way to think about it. My kids are at the age right now where they're learning what happens when you mix colors together. So Rachel gets the paints out at home all the time, and you know, blue and yellow equal green, you know, and things like that. And when you look at this, the reason, the logic doesn't seem to make sense, right? Your sins are scarlet, your sins are red like crimson. For them to become white like snow, you know, what would you add to it? Maybe like bleach or something like that. But we know that no amount of bleach can cleanse us from our sin. We know that the wages of sin, the price needs to be paid for sin, is death. And so does it really make sense that our red sins plus red blood would, and black death would equal white? Logically, no. But through Jesus and through what he did for us, now our sins are white as snow. They are white like wool. That's a beautiful thing. And that color white is the picture, is the color of purity in scripture and in the church here as well. You know, when we talk about the liturgical church here, we put white paraments up for both Christmas, which is the coming of Jesus, and also for Easter when Jesus rose from the dead, symbolic of the whiteness, the purity of Jesus, and the purity of his resurrection, which is ours as well, for because of what he has done for us. So it's a very in your face, beautiful picture that God leaves us with here in Isaiah 1.
Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you remind us that we do not deserve anything from you because of our sins against you and how we've dishonored your name and broken your commandments. And yet you continue to remind us in your loving words and in your loving ways that we have had every sin paid for. What a blessing it is that you continue to call us to yourself, to think about these words that you've promised to us, to help us to understand clearly the magnitude of your grace in our day-to-day life. And so we pray that you would continue to bless us in our faith, help us to grow stronger and stronger until you call us home. And Lord, until then, use us in your kingdom to share your word with others, to comfort one another with this grace that we ourselves have received. In your saving name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Few updates and reminders this week. Bible class, our midweek again, will begin a week from today. We're going to start our study on the Gospel of Mark. Hope you can join us for that. That's an online one. If you have been thinking about joining or looking for a good time to join, this week is the time to do it. We're starting a new section, and pray the Lord bless our study there. We're also going to be taking off this coming weekend for Bible class, the New Year's weekend, only to start it up again the next week. So we'll be beginning a family Sunday school lesson section, which will take place in the sanctuary. Families will be invited to come together and to go through and review a Sunday school lesson, and we'll be able to apply it both to the lives of our young children and to our adults as well. Regarding the gym, it is now all done. The floors are done. The walls are done. It is open by permission, so please reach out to those who have permission to be in there and get permission before going in there, but it's all ready to use, and please, we ask everyone to please take care of that new gym. Obviously, it was a very expensive purchase for our congregation, and we want to make sure that we take good care of it going forward here, and also the bleachers, which are coming in here in about the next month and a half to a month or so. As far as the New Year's schedule, which will be picking up tomorrow, and tomorrow's New Year's Eve, we'll be having service at 6 p.m. That's a communion service. And then we'll also be having service Friday morning at 9 a.m. So again, that's not 10 a.m., but 9 a.m. on Friday morning. That'll be our special song service where you can come and pick a song you want to sing. And our organist, Bonnie Cornish, has been fervently practicing the whole hymnal the past couple of weeks so that she's ready to play whatever requests you might have for this coming week. So look forward to that. It's always a fun service that we go through there. Finally, as far as our prayer list, we give thanks to the Lord as in his grace and mercy brought home our brother in Christ, Jacob Bussey. He passed away last Thursday morning. That was Christmas Eve. And this coming New Year's Eve, tomorrow, the 31st, we'll be planning to have the funeral service here at Emmanuel at 1 p.m. Congregation is all welcome to join us for that. Visitation will take place from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. just before the service, and the service again at 1 p.m. tomorrow. So prayers continue for the Bussey family. Difficult situation that Jake went through there, but we give thanks that he's now with the Lord in heaven, and that where he is, there's no more pain or suffering, and that we look forward to seeing him again one day when the Lord brings all of us home to our heavenly mansion as well. Prayers continue on behalf of my mother, Desiree Nauman, who is still on hospice care. She's been wearing down as time goes on here, and she's less and less able to get about. Pray the Lord would take her home soon as well. That brings us to the doctrine of the day this week. We thought it'd be good to kind of jump forward a little bit and take a look at one that's a little more appropriate to the time of year. Specifically, we look at the virgin birth of Christ. Now, we know that Mary was a virgin when Jesus was born, and we'll take a look in a little bit into that. But first, I'll maybe start with, we know that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Do you want to kind of start, Pastor, by introducing to us what exactly that meant? Was that just like an engagement like we have today, or is there a little bit more to that in the biblical time?
It would not be like our engagement today. I think when someone's engaged today, they think that they can step away from that if they want to. And there's no really ramifications for that other than maybe a broken heart. But the betrothal was an actual legal contract. They were considered husband and wife. And that's why when you hear the angel come to Joseph in a dream, he says to Joseph to encourage him, take to you Mary, your wife. They had not slept together yet, because the way to betrothal their work is that they would be bound by legal contract as husband and wife, and they would not live together until the husband, Joseph, would finish their place to live, and then they would have a celebration later on. This could be months down the road. That's where it's kind of like our engagement time frame, the preparations to bring the bride home, and then that's when they would actually come together in husband and wife. And so they had not lived together, they had not had sex together, and as we see with the virgin birth, these are all important details as far as us understanding that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, not by Joseph. And that's where you get into the false teachings today, where many people who don't believe the miraculous teachings of the Bible deny that Jesus was born of God and not just of Joseph and Mary.
So I just want to make sure we clarify one point you make there. It's regarding engagements. An engagement is still a promise to be married, and breaking of a promise we'd still consider a sin, right? So
absolutely,
you know, yeah. It's a big difference in kind of the contractual obligation of the betrothal back then, but an engagement today that is broken would still be a breaking of a promise.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. Okay, good. So as far as the false doctrines that come along with this, you want to kind of detail for us what, you know, you outlined, some people say he's not born of a virgin, but is there more to it than that? Are there other different false teachings out there?
Yeah, I think what happens is, and you could please do comment on this, but you know, when the focus becomes so much on Mary, obviously we do praise the Lord that he would use a young lady to carry about his plan of salvation. I always picture it in the same way that the Lord used the Jewish nation, you know, the Hebrews, for example, to carry out his plan of salvation through their line of descendants. So I look at Abraham and Mary as really the same. They're both sinful people in which the Lord used to carry about his promise of sending a savior. The trouble is that when you start to focus so much on a person, as the Jewish people struggle with at times, whether it be Abraham or Moses, they kind of become this, not that they're not good examples for us, but almost like deified individuals. And that's what's happened with Mary, I think, over the centuries, is that she's become more of a deification of someone. That's the idea of making them like a god, when they certainly aren't. Mary in some of the Christian churches today is really spoken of as a co-redemptrix with Jesus. She's given all these titles that the Bible does not give to her. And that idea that she is the mother of God and part redeemer of the world, and now our intercessor. And so that's why you have a lot of people praying to Mary, or they might call it revering Mary. I think it's the same thing. If you're praying to a person that's not God, then you have those problems that come along with that, where we see very clearly with the Magnificat, you know, in Luke 1, that Jesus says, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." It's very personal, it's very specific. And so I think that's important when we focus on the, if we're focusing on Mary in the whole virgin birth account, you know, we talked about that last week with Isaiah 7:14, this is the sign, the virgin shall be with child, and he shall call his name Jesus, call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And so, yeah, she's definitely involved. She's definitely part of God's plan for salvation, but she is not the one who brings us about our redemption of our sins. God's just using her in a wonderful way, a way we can rejoice in, to bring about his promise of our Messiah.
Yeah, you know, when in the natural birth of a child, you know, it takes a father and a mother to bring about the conception of a child. And in this, it was the power of the highest overshadowed her. You know, there was no active aspect on her part. She certainly helped raise Jesus once and birth Jesus in Bethlehem there. But as far as the conception part of it, it was, you know, the Immaculate Conception. And that's when Jesus was born without the normal act which gives conception to a child.
Yeah, I had a friend working at the Menards DC back in the day when we were talking about these things one Christmas, and I still remember him being very confused. I don't know if it was mockery or not, but he said, "So your God raped Mary." I said, "You're thinking like just from a human standpoint, like that's the only way that God could conceive a child." You know, the whole idea is the Holy Spirit was the one who brought about, wasn't a physical act of conception. It was God entering into her womb and taking on that flesh through that promised seed, through that promised blessing from God. So you try to describe it, and it is something we can't even fully comprehend because we're bound by human understanding. That's why we call it a miracle. It's something only God could do.
Yeah, I don't even like to think about it like that, but you know, obviously, you know, Mary certainly consented to it as well in her conversation with Gabriel. "Let it be done unto your servant as you say." So she, you know, she was not. Yeah. Anyway,
I think there's a lot of misunderstandings with that. That's why I brought that up, because it's like if we think about it from a human understanding, it's not going to make sense to us. And that's where we put our trust in the Lord. And I like the way you just referenced that, is that Mary wasn't afraid of God's plan here. You know, she was very happy to serve the Lord and be that really kind of, in a way, surrogate mother. But, you know, she was his mother. And that's what made him the most important part as we focus on this, is that he was true man and true God at the same time because of how he was conceived. And that's what was part of his plan from the beginning. And it's pretty amazing. We stop to think about it. This is our Messiah who's come in the world to know everything that we've gone through, everything that, because he lived, he's still alive. He's with us. And what a blessing that is, that he can do all those things that no just human man could do. He's true man, true God.
Yep. And it's a way that, you know, unlike any other human being in the history of the world, you know, born of a virgin, that does not happen. It's not something that rarely happens. It does not happen. And that's what we see here with our Savior Jesus. Beautiful. All right. Why don't we close up with our hymn of the day, hymn 93, a little bit of a less known Christmas hymn from the Lutheran hymnal. I thought I'd read our four stanzas here. "O Lord, we welcome thee. Our hearts for joy are leaping. Thou Jesus, dearest child, thy precious promise keeping, art come from heaven to earth to be our brother dear. Thou gracious Son of God wilt banish all our fear. The mighty Son of God, his majesty concealing, dwells with our fallen race to give us balm and healing. The everlasting God descends from realms above, becomes a winsome child, reveals his Father's love. Ah, sweet and gentle name, it echoes far our sounding. It pierces hearts of stone, it tells of love abounding. O Jesus, dearest child, on thee we will rely, and calling on thy name, we die not when we die. To thee alone we cling, for thee all else forsaking. On thee alone we build, though heaven and earth be quaking. To thee alone we live, in thee alone we die. O Jesus, dearest Lord, with thee we reign on high." Amen. Thank you for joining us on the Twin Steeples podcast. Once again, Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota. Until next time, we pray that God bless and keep you, and that you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.